नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ मटेरियल एंजॉयमेंट आता चा यात्रा कुटुंबिका दरपत्यदयो नम्ना कर्मना मृका श्रृगाला एवं चातो पी करयस्य कुटुंबिना उरनकवात् समरक्ष्यमानं मिसतो फि हरन्ति अताचायत्र कुटुंबिका दरपत्यादो नम्न कर्णमृकशगल एवानिचातो पिकादरस्य कुटुंबिन उर्णकावत् समरक्ष्यमानं मिसतो फि हरन्ति. Here's the word for word. We should say this even though it's prose. Ata, in this way. Cha, also. Yatra, in which. Kautumbika, the family members. Dara apatya adaya. Beginning with the wife and children. Namna, by name only. Karmana, by their behavior. Rika, Shrigata, tigers and jackals. Eva, certainly. Anichata, of one who does not desire to spend his wealth. Api, certainly. Karayasya, being too miserly. Kutumbina, who is surrounded by family members. Uranakavat, like a lamb. Samraksyamanam. Everybody try to chant. This isn't sleepy time. As we'll hear in this purport. Samraksyamanam. Although protected. Misata. Of one who is observing. Api. Even. Haranti. They forcibly take away. Translation. My dear king, family members in this material world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. The herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take them away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One Hindi poet has sung, Din kadakini rat kabagini palak palak rahukushe. During the daytime, the wife is compared to a witch, and at night, she is compared to a tigress. Her only business is sucking the blood of her husband both day and night. I didn't write this, by the way. I'm just reading this, and it's either Krishna's arrangement or Archita's arrangement that I get this opportunity. Her only business is sucking the blood of her husband both day and night. During the day, there are household expenditures, and the money earned by the husband at the cost of his blood is taken away. At night, due to sex pleasure, the husband discharges blood in the form of semen. In this way, he is bled, by his wife both day and night. Yet he is so crazy that he very carefully maintains her. Similarly, the children are also like tigers, jackals, and foxes. As tigers, jackals, and foxes take away lambs despite the herdsman's vigilant protection, children take away the father's money, although the father supervises the money himself. Thus, family members may be called wives and children, but actually, they are plunderers. Translation, my dear King, family members, in this material world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. A herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take him away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. So herein, the Bhagavatam very heavily describes the beauty of society, friendship, and love. With no sentimentality, just like the first time I met Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco in 1972, I believe, one gentleman stood up and said, Srila Prabhupada, according to the Baha'i faith, Prabhupada said, interrupted him, he said, we're talking of Krishna. He said, well, according to Baha'u'llah, Prabhupada said, we want to know what Krishna says. It seemed to be like a little argument I was watching. He said, well, the Baha'i faith says, and Prabhupada said, sit down and be quiet. We are speaking of Krishna. And I immediately thought, that's my guru. Because he didn't accept any nonsense. Go to the Hare Krishna temple, we didn't see the men and the women socializing. One time, actually, in St. Louis, it was New Year's Eve, and we would make some soda with essence of rum, non-alcoholic essence of rum, and the devotees would drink for New Year's Eve party, and they were working so hard. But one time, Savas was there, I think Nikatma was there too. We went out to the store, and someone got the essence of rum, the bottle, and no one looked. We put the essence of rum with the Coke and rum, served out the devotees, and some of the brahmacharis were walking to the tables of the Matajis, where the Matajis were eating prasad, and, you know, introducing themselves like, hey, Mataji, that's a pretty good-looking sari you got on right now. So I thought, something's wrong here. We looked, and the bottle said 55% alcohol. We felt very bad. It was in the essence of rum, which is supposed to be just a little dropper thing. I don't know. So the beauty of Krishna consciousness is we don't usually find that kind of silly, sentimental association. Srila Prabhupada was very strict. Men are like this, the women are like this. Prabhupada said men are good, women are good, and the combination, Prabhupada said, is bad. Prabhupada said that. Men are good and women are good, and the combination is bad. Isn't it, Sukadev? Prabhupada said many times. Huh? When they combine together, it's bad. So Prabhupada allowed for household life, but he discouraged all this social. Krishna consciousness was never and is never supposed to be just social functions where we are a fraternity or sorority for social get-togethers and making each other happy in our internal situation. Rather, Prabhupada said the temple is a base from which we send out our men to fight with Maya. Men and women to fight with Maya. Prabhupada gave that missionary spirit, and although he allowed for the household life, he allowed for Of course, children, most people do get married. At the same time, he, in this purport, not just the verse, but Srila Prabhupada himself points out in the purport, what is the reality? He doesn't sentimentally try to make it seem that society, friendship, and love is a wonderful thing. And if you have society, friendship, and love in Krishna consciousness, that's the perfection of both worlds. On the contrary, Prabhupada said, if you must, ideal, we were at one lecture, here in L.A., Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter if you're brahmachari, grihastha. But ideal, you remain brahmachari. Even if one takes to grihastha life, it's outlined in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that until 25 years of age, Vedic culture means one is trained brahmachari and brahmacharini. And then from 25 to 50, if one likes and one is so inclined, which is most people, then you take the household life, have a nice family, have children, but engage seriously in Krishna consciousness. And know, panchasordam vanam vrajat, by the age of 50, finished. 25 to 50. 50 means the wife and husband retire and go on pilgrimage, visit temples, go preaching, finished with household life, finished with social gatherings. Even we see Lord Shiva, his wife, she wanted to go to her father's place, to Dukkha's place, for a big party. They were having a get-together, a yajna. And Shiva was like, you know, I'm really not into this. And she was so much, Sati was so much persistent, Prabhupada points out in the purport, that usually women, they like these social events. Something very flowery and very fraternal, sorority-like, and very social. But I know myself, in visiting different spiritual groups, and of course visiting groups in before I was even devotee, that the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement is that these things don't exist. There's social, Krishna conscious social life, but not men and women mixing like fraternity party or some kind of social event. Is even in the social event, there's a strictness of separating. We went to one Mayavadi camp. They asked us to do kirtan. We brought prasadam. And there they had their kirtan also. And we brought mahaprasadam from the temple. But they had also brought in some samosa of some sort. So someone came up to me and said, oh, don't go near the samosas because they're lamb samosas. So I thought, okay, we got a problem here with this group. Then next thing, they started to pass around the wine. And I said, you know, I can't drink. I'm driving. I wanted to be polite. And they said, come on, Sura, everybody needs a little vino before kirtan. I thought, okay, I'm missing something here. And then some other thing, I don't even know what it was, like a cigar, very big, smoking up the whole room. And I was like, no, I can't. I have a sore throat as it is. So I thought, okay, this is problematic. Then, as people were arriving, the dress code was very interesting. The women were wearing the short dresses, and everyone was sitting cross-legged. And everyone socializing, trying to pick up the other person to go out afterwards or to go on some date. And I was thinking during the chanting, and then they were, even during the chanting, they were saying, this is like rock and roll. And I was thinking, okay, something seriously, seriously wrong. If you try to have illicit connection and you try to have intoxication and eating meat, of course I didn't see any gambling, I have to admit. And in the name of spiritual life, in the name of Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. And we've given the example that we've met so many yogis and yoginis. One yogini was very upset. She had read our book, Bhakti, the Art of Bhakti Yoga, the Art of Eternal Love. No, it was in Bhakti. She had Bhakti too. And she was very upset with the teachings of Yamanakarya. And I was like, well, what did Yamanakarya say in there? Oh, every time I think of sex, I spit. I said, oh, Yamanacharya. I said, whoever. He said, what kind of spiritual organization? And when one thinks of one's past sense gratification, one spits. How is that spiritual? And I wasn't sure how to explain it. I tried to explain by saying, yes, he was in the renounced order and he had given up all of his sense gratification. And she argued that sex is the highest spiritual activity one can perform. So many yoga groups, they teach this amazing science. Of course, I responded then, I guess the pigeons and the dogs are the most spiritually advanced people. Practically only Vaishnavism, although it's there in every philosophy, but Srila Prabhupada came completely against the current. The current was smoke this, drink that, and party like an animal for as long as you like. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't smoke. He was horrified. They had a billboard sign up that said, smoke cools. So Prabhupada noticed, we didn't even think. Prabhupada said, why they're calling it cool? Why you accept that they're calling smoke the cool? When you smoke it, it's hot. And it's smoky and you cough. And they're calling it cool. Even I remember when I was young, we had this drink in the old days. It was called a phosphate, like a cherry phosphate. They'd put a little bubbly and a little cherry and a little some kind of drink. Not intoxication. So when I saw alcohol, I thought, oh my God, everyone loves it so much. It must be just like a cherry phosphate. Our beer must be so wonderful, like cream soda. And actually, it's the most nasty, poisonous thing. They drink alcohol and immediately make some face because it's so nasty. They drink beer, it's nasty, totally nasty. But they like the result, which is that their senses become completely out of control. And this is so-called even spiritual circles. Let's get completely out of control and then chant. Actually, Srila Prabhupada came to teach the opposite. That this material world is a very dukkhayala mashashvatam. He did not change the Bhagavad Gita because people were like hogs and dogs. I think I've said before, the first time that we heard Srila Prabhupada, I was a teenager. And my friends, we drove in 1968 or so. Movement was already prominent. And we drove to Canada, what do you call it? Montreal from Chicago, because we had our driver's license. So we didn't tell our parents and we drove off. And we met the devotees downtown. We thought they were pretty interesting people. We didn't want to join them, but we thought they were interesting. One lady, young lady, she invited me to come to her house, her place, and attend her morning program. So we went to the Mangalartik in a bowling alley, in a very small bowling alley, four-lane bowling alley in Montreal. I think I sat in lane four. One man did Artik and chanted. The lady wasn't there that had talked to me. And then after we finished at 5 o'clock, they served me and my friends huge bowls of halva. And they had Srila Prabhupada on a reel-to-reel tape speaking while we ate mounds and mounds of halva. We were 16-year-olds, and halva was pretty sweet. And we just kept eating and eating the halva. So as we were eating the halva, Srila Prabhupada was saying in the tape that this is a world, this is a society of hogs and dogs. That everyone is acting like a hog and a dog. And we were so moved by Srila Prabhupada's statement that 16-year-old boys, all the way home, anything would happen in the car, we would call each other hogs and dogs. You're acting like a hog and a dog. Prabhupada didn't make anything sentimental. Prabhupada didn't say everything's okay. Prabhupada gave the strict understanding of Vedic culture. Just like he's giving here, that quoting the Bengali, Din hadakini rathabagini palak palak rahu kushe, that the wife is compared in the daytime to a witch, and at night, the Bengali proverb is, she's compared to the tigress. Her only business, Prabhupada says, is sucking the blood of the husband day and night. So Prabhupada never said, he never gave us that this material world is a nice place and that we should become comfortable and make a very comfortable situation in this world. But just the opposite, Srila Prabhupada gave us the information that this material world is a very hellish place, Dukkayala Mashashvatam, that's temporary and full of miseries. Not to be pessimistic, but to be realistic, this material world is full of miseries. One person is trying to cheat the other. Even in the household life, there's just a very interesting story in the news. One lady and man, they got married in, I think, Florida. And the cake was still, the leftovers of the wedding cake were still in the refrigerator. The wedding dress had not quite gone to the dry cleaners yet. And she hired someone to execute her new husband. After 1 or 2 weeks, I think it was 1 week, newlyweds. Of course, the woman was not very bright from the start, and she hired a policeman, an undercover policeman, to go shoot her husband, and was obviously, after a short period of time, arrested for attempted murder. The husband wasn't shot. The police caught her, and they found that she was in monetary difficulty and thought there'd be a lot more money from killing the husband than from living with him and taking his money on a daily basis. And I guess from the beginning of the marriage, she had no actual inkling to stay with him in any way, shape, or form. She had some other gentleman in her life. So this goes on, not just the woman, the man also marries some heiress and take their money or just try to get rid of them. We've lately heard the stories of the great golfer, the golfer, who was so much out of control. It's actually kind of interesting that even it's Kali Yuga, even we're in the Western world, that people are very upset when they see someone who's a philanderer, an adulterer, someone who's cheating on their spouse. They have no compassion, which is good. He was caught first, 5 or 6 people, 8 people, 12 people. Now, just in America, they can't even count the amount of people. And he had newborn baby, 6-month-old baby, and I think a 2-year-old, something like that. Beautiful wife. She was a model from Sweden. Young, beautiful wife. But the senses are so much out of control, he had to go and make friends and have relations with all kinds of, what do you call, barmaids, I guess they call them. Cocktail waitresses, Sukadev says. I don't know, maybe you know those things. So, this is the material world. I want my sense gratification. I'm going to get it at any cost. Nunam pramatak kurute vikarma. People are mad after sense gratification. They'll give up their loved ones for the sense gratification. They'll give up so-called vows of spirituality. There was one person I knew, and they had committed some heinous activities. And I asked, but you're initiated and you've taken vows. And the lady said, well, I have something to tell you. I'm not really good at vows. I was never really so good at taking vows. It's not really my thing, the vow thing. And so people think that, well, I'll become happy by engaging in sense gratification. Tiger Woods is right now not a happy camper, trust me. The lady who tried to shoot her husband of 1 week right now is sitting in a Broward County jail for attempted murder, will probably get 25 years in jail. She's not a happy camper. We think that pursuing our sense gratification will make us happy, but to the contrary, the Bhagavatam says that we try to pursue sense gratification and seek happiness. But on the contrary, 7th Canto of Bhagavatam states, our happiness decreases and our unhappiness increases. Dukaya, sukaya dukha mokshaya, kurvati dampati kriya, tuto nivritir apraptir dukasya cha, sukasya cha. We try to make many different plans. We're planning our whole life how to become very happy and make this material world a very comfortable place. And the littlest thing happens. Just some little thing in your arteries or veins stopping the blood flow, and there goes all your so-called happiness. Or you have wonderful children and you think that your children are special. They're so special that even when they pass stool, the parents look at the stool of the children as the Bhagavatam states. This is not me. The Bhagavatam states as chandan. I had a personal example. When Sita Priya Cadets was only 3 months old in St. Louis, she couldn't go to the bathroom for 2 or 3 days. So my wife was very worried about it. I was also concerned, but I thought, you know, doesn't that happen to kids? I had no idea. First child. So Naikatma Jagajanani were upstairs. They had their beautiful daughter. who was already two and a half. So we asked, and they said, well, give her this drink. Put this besides the milk, give her some grape juice or prune juice or something. So I said, oh, of course. The kid can eat that? Oh, yeah, no problem. So we gave Sita Priya the prune juice. I went to work over at the temple at the restaurant across the alley, across Vaishnav Alley, there at the St. Louis Temple, from the apartments. And the mother of the child, the wife, calls up and says, come home quick. It's amazing. Please come home. So I ran home. I thought maybe there's some problem. Young baby. I'm so worried day and night. So concerned. And there, in the bedroom, floating into the kitchen, down the hallway, and into the living room, was a river of stool. The kid emptied everything. And the mother was so excited. And I thought, oh my, is this wonderful? Look at that. Oh yeah. That's a true story. I don't think you can ask Sita, but you can ask her mother. And we were thinking, I was ready to, you know. It says in the Bhagavatam, the parents think that the children are so wonderful that their stool is like chanda. And we had personal experience. It was everywhere. I think we had to hire a guy for $150 to clean it up. And we were thinking, this is wonderful. How do you feel, baby? Isn't it great? And she was laughing and giggling, the baby, because she had such a good time. So this is the illusion of the material world. And we think our children are very special. Everyone thinks, my children, they'll light fire by mantra. We had great hopes for Ram Navami cadets, that he would be such a great devotee. He played mridanga at 3. And we don't even want to discuss what he does now at 20. Maybe he can play mridanga a little. And everyone thinks that one devotee, he brought his son, was 4 or 5 months old, and my daughter was 4 or 5 months old. They sat there together, and he said, well, who knows, Sarah? You know, these kids could get married together. They make a great couple. And I had been a brahmachari up till about 2 years ago, and I never had these kind of thoughts before. But I looked at my godbrother, and I didn't say anything. But in my mind, what I was thinking, poor 3, 4-month-old boy, I was thinking, that guy ain't good enough for my daughter. He was 4 months old. She was 3.5 months old. And I looked and, guy ain't, you know, worthy of my daughter. Princess Sita, are you crazy? Everyone thinks, my children, they're golden. They won't do anything like a mundane child, isn't it? They're special. They're so special. And then after a while, it's revealed, they are kids. If you can make them Krishna conscious, if you can lead them to Krishna consciousness, that's beautiful. But otherwise, they're kids. Somehow or other, just like the Bhagavatam said, I'd have $30-$40 in my pocket every day, and I'd go to the program. By the time I'd come back to the program, I'd have 18 or 19 bucks in my pocket. And my son was getting all kinds of toys and video games and different presents in his life, and I couldn't put it together for about a year. Probably lost about $600 directly from my pocket loans. And when it was revealed that he was doing the five-finger pick, just like the Bhagavatam says, I was like, well, it's my kid, you know. He needs it. I don't give him enough. Anyone else would take $500 from my pocket, we'd shoot them. We'd pursue it to the highest extent of the law. Children are doing the same thing, but because it's own man, Prabhupada says. It's my own man. It's my son. Wife is taking money like anything. One time, it was the wife's birthday, and she had spent a lot of money on the credit card. Took it out of my pocket and ran up the credit card. A lot of money. And so I came home, I said, you know, I didn't get you a gift yet for your birthday. And she said, oh, no, that's all right. I thought you might forget it, so I used your credit card. True story. I was like, how much did you use? It was several hundred dollars. I was quite amazed because on a devotee's salary, that's like, compared to normal people, tens of thousands of dollars. It's what a devotee makes in a year, a few hundred dollars. So the Bhagavatam, it's all there. It's true. Of course, we're devotees. It doesn't apply to devotees. Not at all. But in material life, for the non-devotees, it totally applies. Unbelievably applies. Everyone is trying to sue for the most money. Our friend Paul McCartney married one woman for a few years and she sued him for... He offered her, I think, $30 million. She was like, are you kidding me? I want $80 million or $100 million. $30 million. But she was unsatisfied. Also, I think this Tiger Woods has offered his wife, please just stay with me, I'll give you $100 million. And she's turning it down because she can probably get $500 million by leaving him. Material world is like that. First one is the great friend and then becomes our enemy. Somehow or other also, a personal experience, you may be with someone for 10 years and everything sings hunky-dory. Everything's nice. And in the 10th year, things come up. Things are brought up from what happened in the first year or the second year that you have no idea how someone can remember. The spouse says, I remember the time we went to here and you said this, 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 that. I was thinking, my God, if you could remember Bhagavatam verses that well. They said, that was 11, I don't even remember that stuff. What did I say? I was kidding when I said it. From 10 years, it's remembered. I'm amazed. So, therefore, the Shastras say, do our business and get out. At the 50th year, finished. Now it's all preaching. Now it's all missionary work. No more time for social events and oogling over the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids. Now is the time to go and preach Krishna consciousness. There's no shortage of kids in this material world. There's no shortage of social events in this material world. Only thing that there's shortage of is Krishna consciousness. There's lacking of Krishna consciousness and people understanding what is spiritual life. Sense gratification is not spiritual life. The lady was trying to tell me that's the highest spiritual life. Then why aren't rabbits our gurus? Why aren't monkeys gurus? If that's the highest spirituality, animals can perform sense gratification much better than humans. Much more frequently, much more powerfully. They're much more absorbed in sense gratification. But human form of life gives us the opportunity, atato brahma jignasa. So we should take heed that this material world is the forest of material enjoyment. And we should utilize the opportunity of this human form of life to preach Krishna consciousness, to teach austerity and penance, renunciation, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga, as renounced as possible. Eat only Krishna prasadam. Keeping the mind filled with divine thoughts, with spiritual thoughts of service to Krishna. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is spirituality? It's not sense gratification. It's the opposite. It's service to Krishna. It's pleasing Krishna's senses. It's working in such a way that Krishna is always pleased and that we remember Krishna 24 hours in a day. Then, when we utilize our human form of life, we can be peaceful and happy. No matter what, if we're in grihastha life or sannyas life, brahmachari life, vanaprastha life. But ultimately, everyone has to join the Sankirtan mission in spiritual life. If one wants to be spiritual, join the Sankirtan mission and dedicate one's life to pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Any questions? Oh, one question? My wife sometimes. Oh, no. And that was Srila Prabhupada talking at me, ladies. I don't know how I got that verse.